Krishna Pada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnava Nishtha Shri Rupam Sadrajatam Sahadana Raghunathanditam Thamsajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Harijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakham Vithamsa Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Swami Niti Saraswati Deve Gauravani Srishtavine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Asyasya Deshattarine Kalpatadivyasya Rivasindubhya evasya Kavitanam pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Thank you. की सीमा ऐसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद की जय। ओम विष्णुकार परमहंस परिव्राजकार शर्ष अस्थोतर स्थित श्री श्रीमार भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर की अनंत कवि वैष्णव वृंद की नाम आचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सिको श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर सिंहासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण कोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंद राधा कुंद की गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की अंदिरवान धाम की भाद्रवान धाम की दुर्ववान धाम की नवद्वीप धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की गंगमयी की जमुनामयी की भक्ति देवी की तुलसी देवी की समवेद भक्त वृंद की गौर प्रेमानंद और ग्लोरी सूर्य चंद्र और ग्लोरी सूर्य चंद्र और ग्लोरी सूर्य चंद्र और ग्लोरी टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौर। टुडे वी हैव कम टू वन ऑफ द ग्रेट फॉरेस्ट ऑफ वृंदावन बंदीरवान। The Arivaraha Purana explains that simply by glancing upon this forest, one does not have to take another birth again in this material world. But you have to glance properly. Your glance has to be Trinadapi Sunichena Tavodapi Saishna Amanya Madhena Kirtaniya Sahadi. Part of this training is to have you sit in the mud and cow dung. Everyone can hear? Just close to here is the forest of Vatsavan. I'm sorry. Yes, Vatsavan, which is a part of Bhadravan. In Bhadravan, wonderful pastimes took place. Rupa Goswami completed his Lalita Madhava in the forest of Bhadravan. And also, in the Vatsavan section of Bhadravan, Krishna killed the asura named Vatsa. Vatsasura was a very, very evil-minded Rakshasa who was a servant of Kamsa. He came to Vrindavan in the disguise of a beautiful little calf. What is more harmless and charming than a beautiful, innocent-looking calf? But this is how Maya tries to, somehow or other, kill our Krishna conscious propensity from within our hearts. Maya does not always appear as Maya. Sometimes she appears as our dearest friend, relative, or even as a devotee. To somehow or other gain our faith and confidence, and then steal the propensity to serve Krishna from our hearts. Vatsasura, in this little calf form, had one intention, to kill Krishna Balaram and the gopas. That day, Krishna and his friends were herding the cows in the pasture grounds of Bhadravan. And Krishna recognized this demon to be a demon. Krishna is the knower of everything. You can cheat some of the people some of the time, but if you try to cheat Krishna, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, I am the best of all cheaters. Krishna also says in Gita, Yehigatamam prapadyante tamistadaiva vrajam yaham. As you approach Krishna, he rewards you accordingly. If you approach Krishna with love and devotion, Krishna will fill your heart with love and devotion. if you approach Krishna to cheat him, you can be guaranteed that Krishna will cheat you. But how does Krishna cheat you? He's such an expert cheater. He doesn't make it appear that he's cheating you. He makes it appear that you're cheating him. Just for you get completely attached to the cheating process and you actually think you're getting away with it. If you know you're going to lose, it doesn't hurt as bad as if you think you're going to win and then you lose. So Krishna is very thorough in how he cheats us. Just like Hiranyakashipu, when he was fighting Narasimhadev Bhagavan. At the beginning of the battle, Hiranyakashipu thought, I'm winning. He had me in his clutches and I got away. He cannot control me. Just like a cat lets the mouse get away, just so the mouse is thinking, I am better than the cat. So similarly, when we want to cheat Krishna, he will let us get away with it for some time. He may, according to what is best for our purification. But you can know, certainly, without doubt, that you cannot cheat Krishna. Vatsasura appeared as an innocent, helpless little calf, coming to accept the mercy of Krishna, who is a gopa, a cowherd boy. Krishna is Govinda, the giver of pleasure to cows. He is Gopala, the protector of cows. So this little calf was seeking Krishna's protection externally, but internally he wanted to destroy Krishna. But Krishna knew. So he let the calf enter into the herd. He told Balaramji that this calf is a demon who has come to kill us. Then Krishna and Balaram very quietly snuck up behind Vatsasura. Vatsasura thought he was just mixing in very nicely with the other calves. To his great surprise, Krishna grabbed him from his rear legs. And he picked him up and started whirling him around in the sky, around and around and around with his hand, effortlessly. He was whirling him around so fast that Vatsasura became dizzy to death. He died in the sky. Then Krishna threw him to the top of a tree and he fell down to the ground. Shri Krishna Bhagavan Ki! After that, Krishna came here to Bandiravan, and gopis, they said to Krishna that we cannot associate with you because you killed a calf. Vedic culture is to protect the Brahmins and the cows. You killed a baby cow. Krishna said, but it was a demon. No doubt, but still, it came in the form of a calf. If you want to associate with us, you're wrong.
It's very Italian, dude.
You killed a cow, you killed a cow, you killed a cow.
Very beautiful. I think they'll get more purified listening to these birds than me. So they said he should bathe in all the holy places. Then Krishna took his flute and put it into the ground and made a beautiful well in which it was filled with the waters from all the holy places in the universe. And Krishna took his bath. And from that day on, Krishna and the cowherd boys would come to this well to quench their thirst and take their baths, and it's called Venukuk, the well made by the flute of Lord Sri Krishna. As we are going out, we can all take water from that well. In fact, there is a certain time of each month I think when the... No? All right.
Not every month. All right, sorry.
When the moonless night is on a Monday?
Yes.
When the moonless night is on a Monday, if ladies who don't have babies properly drink that water,
then you bath.
Drink water and take bath, then you may have nice babies. But our purpose of coming here is not to have babies. It is to purify our heart from all these material desires. But if you want to have baby to raise in Krishna consciousness, then that is devotional service. Hare Krishna. In these beautiful forests, Krishna would come out with his cowherd boys, herding the cows, roaming through the forest. There were wonderful waterfalls which were flowing everywhere in Vrindavan at that time. And the waterfall would give off such pleasant sounds that it would cover the sounds of the crickets going. And the waterfalls, even in the summer season, would create such a cooling effect. Little drops and mists would cool the air of Vrindavan. Because Krishna and Balaram were living here together, every season was all pleasing to the heart and to the senses. Krishna and his gopa friends, they would decorate their bodies and clothes with the minerals from the ground of Vrindavan. They would also decorate themselves with the feathers of the birds, especially that of the peacock, and they would pick wild flowers from the trees and make garlands and decorate each other's hair. In this way, Krishna and Balaram, along with his friends, showed us what is real opulence. Opulence is the natural gifts of nature that are used in the loving service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We should know that when the gopas or the gopis decorated themselves, they did not do it like people of this world to attract people to them. When you ladies get new saris, you may think, I will be so beautiful in this sari. People will think I am so nice. And when men get their pants or shirts from your stores in Bombay, you may be thinking that, I will look very handsome. I will look distinguished. But the gopas and gopis, when they would decorate themselves, it was simply for the purpose of pleasing Krishna. We are making these efforts just to please Krishna. And Krishna is not concerned with what you wear, he's concerned with the effort you take to please him. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that there is a decoration that is more valuable than all the jewels in the entire material universe. And do you know what that is? It is tilak. Tilak is simply mud available to anyone for practically nothing. But if that tilak is applied to the head and to the 12 parts of the body, in a spirit of offering your body to Krishna, that is real ornament that makes you beautiful in the eyes of God. The cowherd boys would play in so many ways. They would play various games. Sometimes Krishna would beautifully dance for them, and the cowherd boys would sing and play musical instruments to assist Krishna in his dancing. And as he would dance, the cowherd boys would say, well done, Krishna, you are excellent dancer. And then in reciprocation, Krishna would ask the gopas to dance. And they would dance. And Krishna Balaram would play their flutes and other musical instruments and sing wonderful songs and say, "Well done, excellent, my friends, you are very good dancers." In this way, just like dramatic performers praise each other's arts, Krishna Balaram and the gopas would glorify each other's devotional efforts, which were simply meant for the pleasure of each other. Krishna would dance for the pleasure of the gopas. The gopas would dance for the pleasure of Krishna. This is the spiritual world, where everyone is the servant of everyone. Srila Prabhupada explains, Vaikuntha is that place where everyone is trying to increase everyone else's service. The material world is the place where everyone is trying to think, my service is better than yours. Hare Krishna. Sometimes they would play games like building bridges or chasing each other. Sometimes they would wrestle with one another and slap each other on the shoulders and in the backs. Other times Krishna would very affectionately pull the hair of the gopas. Sometimes they would take bale fruits and throw it into the air, and then the boys would throw other bale fruits to try to hit it before it came down. Another game they would play is one boy would go behind the other boy and cover his hands, his eyes, with his hands, and the boy, just by touching the texture of that cowherd boy's hand, had to guess who he was. And if he guessed, that cowherd boy would give him a flute or a stick for herding cows. Sometimes they would play nice games where they would jump like the frogs or follow the birds, imitate the different sounds of the animals of Vrindavan. This way, Sri Krishna and Balaram and his cowherd boyfriends would perform most pleasing loving pastimes in these forests of Vrindavan. Sukadeva Goswami explains how, although Krishna was appearing just like an ordinary boy, sometimes he would reveal his supreme nature. One day, as they were playing in the forest, herding their calves, a great demon, in fact, Srimad Bhagavatam says he was foremost demon. His name was Pralambasura. He came to this forest of Bandiravan. He, by his mystic powers, disguised himself as a cowherd boy. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, everyone's able to hear? That one day one of the cowherd boys had some duties and had to stay at home. Pralambasura disguised himself identical practically to that particular boy. His intention was to attack Krishna Balaram and the gopas. Krishna knew exactly who this demon was in the disguise of his own little helpless friend. So Krishna very, very affectionately welcomed him. He said, "Oh, my friend, I am so happy you have come to play with us today. Please join us." So Pralambasura was very happy. Then Krishna said, "Now it is time to play a nice game. Let us divide into two groups. One group will be led by Balaramji, and I will lead the other, and we will attack each other. And whoever loses has to carry the winner on his shoulders." So Pralambasura, in his form as a cowherd boy, was thinking, "Krishna is very powerful. Let me kill Balaram." So he took Krishna's side, and Krishna welcomed him to be on his team. They began to play, and as they were playing, Krishna led them to this tree, which is called Bandiravat in Bandiravan. And at the end of the game, they had to carry each other on their backs. Of course, we know how Balaram's side was victorious. And Krishna had to carry Sridhama on his back. One may ask, how is it that Sridhama can defeat Krishna? Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is in reciprocation of love. Krishna is all-powerful. Putana was a demon. She was 12 miles long, and Krishna effortlessly destroyed her by just sucking upon her breast. Trinavarta was a massive, massive whirlwind who created total havoc to the whole town of Vrindavan. And Krishna easily choked him with his arms, strangled his breath, and made him fall to the ground dead. So how is it that little Sridhama, Srimati Radharani's smaller brother, could defeat Krishna in games and in wrestling? The answer is that Krishna likes to be defeated by his devotee. He is Bhakta Vatsal. It is the spirit of affection. A father can easily defeat a little baby son. It's like we have our Rohini Nandan Prabhu. He is here. Where is he? Huh? He has a little son named Baladev. Now, if we put them in the center of this arena of sitting and said, Rohini Nandan and Baladev, we want wrestling match. Now, if Rohini Nandan Prabhu just fought as hard as he could, within seconds, Baladev would be dead. Would Baladev enjoy that? Would Rohini Nandan Prabhu enjoy that? Would we in the audience enjoy that? We would be horrified. What kind of a father is this? However, if he pretended to be defeated, he pretended to be trying as hard as he can. And then Baladev pushes him to the ground and goes, I give up, I give up, I give up. And Baladev is very happy. And Rohini Nandan Guru is very happy. And when we see this wonderful pastime, we are very happy. So Krishna lets his friends defeat him just for ecstatic happiness of love and reciprocation. Krishna had to carry Sridhama on his shoulders here at Bandiravan.
You're making excuses. This is like typical GBC thing. Krishna just lost, that's it.
This is just excuses. Krishna lost, that's it.
I just lost to you. But not willingly, unwillingly. You defeated me like Krishna killed both us. There you are. Thank you, Maharaj. Correcting me. Wherever we are, we always need Jayadurtha Maharaj. Somewhere close by to correct it.
That's why he was the editor.
His position of editing is not limited to his BTG office. Srila Prabhupada empowered him. This is his consciousness. You always give the proper editorial. Keep us in line with Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. Because in Kali Yuga we all have so many tendencies. Thank you, Maharaj. Bhadrasena carried Brishab on his shoulders, and the little Gopa named Pralamba, he took Balaram on his shoulders. It was here under this Bandiravan tree. And generally they would go up to a certain point carrying the winners. But Pralamb Asura kept running farther and farther and farther into the Bandirban forest. Balaramji was thinking, why is this cowherd boy taking me so far? Then he assumed a weight equal to Mount Sumeru, the largest mountain of the universe made of gold. And the demon, feeling the weight of Balaramji, could no longer contain his disguise. He assumed his original form, which was big as a huge black mountain. His complexion was very dark. His eyes were red like coals. His hair was like fire. He had big, sharpened teeth that were reaching practically to his eyebrows. He was a terrible, terrible demon. Balaramji was thinking, how is it that my friend has changed in every way? It actually says that he became frightened. Now, why does Balaramji become frightened? Simply as a pastime, to make his transcendental narration more interesting. It appeared that Pralamb Asura was like a massive cloud, and that Balaram was like the moon in that cloud. So Pralamb Asura was taking him farther and farther in this huge, gigantic, demoniac form. Balaram, in transcendental anger, with his fist, he cracked open the head of Pralamb Asura. Shri Balaramji ki.
Oh, Daoji Maharaj ki.
We have an editor and a Vrijavasi. The most unlikely combination. Very well. But Krishna, Srila Prabhupada's mercy is so wonderful. Balaramji struck him on the head so hard that his head cracked open. Immediately he started vomiting. His eyes bulged from their sockets. He passed stool and urine and fell to the ground with such a terrible, terrible sound that the entire earth shook. The cowherd boys, when they met with Balaram, it was as if they were meeting someone who had just come back from death. They all embraced him, and they said, Balaramji, well done, well done. And the demigods, they were so pleased that this foremost demon, Pralamb Asura, was slain, they showered beautiful flowers on the head of Sri Balaramji. This wonderful pastime took place here in Bandirban. Then they were meeting here under the tree, and they began again to play so many of their nice games. Especially Balaram, Krishna, and Gopas would like to wrestle here in Bandirban. So, as they were playing their nice pastimes, they forgot all about the calves. The little calves, allured by fresh green grasses, went deeper and deeper into different sections of the forest. They came to a place called Munjatavi, which is a section of the Ishikatavi forest. Nearby, there was a fire that was beginning to burn. But the calves were simply concerned with eating their grasses. When the gopas saw that the calves were gone, Krishna Balaram they felt quite guilty that because we were so much immersed in our play that we forgot all about our calves. We must protect them. They looked everywhere for them, but they could not find. But the gopas had a very high technology. They knew exactly how to live in the forest of Vrindavan and get things done very nicely. What they did is they would look for the imprints of the calf's hoofs on the dust of Braja, and they would follow those hoof prints. But sometimes there was so much grass that there was no dust. So they would look for grass that was broken, knowing this is the place that the calf bit into the grass. And in this way they were following the biting marks of the calves deeper and deeper into the Vandiravan forest, to Munjatavi. There they found the calves, and by that time massive fire was all around them. Bhagavatam explains, just as a chariot carries someone from one place to another, similarly the chariot of the wind carried that fire from one forest all around Krishna Balaram, the gopas and the cows. This forest fire was blazing so hot and so high, they were surrounded on all sides by it. They were struck with hunger, thirst, and terrible heat. This is the nature of material existence. Samsara dhavanalabhida lokam. Samsara, this material existence of birth and death, it is like dhavanalaloka. It is a planet of a huge forest fire. And what is that fire? Lust, anger, envy, pride, greed, and illusion. It is a burning fire within our hearts. And externally, it manifests in its next stage of repeated, of adiatmaka, adidaivaka, adibhotaka, birth, old age, disease, and death, again and again and again. We are surrounded from within and without by this fire of material existence. The gopas and the calves were helpless. They turned to Krishna. They said, Krishna, Krishna, Mahavira. Oh, Krishna and Balaram, you are all powerful. You can do anything. We are your humble servants. We have surrendered to you. Now this fire is about to consume our very lives. Please save us. Of course, we should know that the gopas only wanted to be saved by Krishna so that they could please Krishna by his devotional service. Srila Prabhupada explained to us that it is an act of devotional service to try, according to your means, to protect your body so that it can be used for devotional service. But to protect your body just so that you can go on living and enjoying the material senses and mind, or to protect the body because of fear of death, is simply a very karmically incriminating activity. Therefore, we may take medicine when we are sick, we may take rest when we are tired, we may defend ourselves from opposing forces, if it is in the mood that I am doing this to protect the property of Krishna so that it can be used in the service of Krishna. And of course, we know, we cannot protect ourselves. Ultimately, only Krishna can protect us. This is a great lesson we could learn from this story here at Vandiravan. When the gopas turn to Krishna, just like a dying man looks upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna said to them, all right, do not be afraid. Close your eyes. And the gopas said, all right, we will close our eyes. And they closed their eyes. They had such innocent, complete faith in Krishna. as they closed their eyes, they could not see anything around. Then Krishna opened his mouth and immediately swallowed the entire forest fire. It is said there are several reasons why Krishna told them to close their eyes. One is to show people that no need for your own material adjustments or conceptions. If you have faith in Krishna, it is described by Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, even if you are a blind man, you can see the farthest stars in the sky. Even if you are a lame man, you can cross over the highest mountains. Even if you are a dumb man, you can speak eloquent poetry. If we have faith in Krishna and the spiritual master. Also, when Krishna once ate a little dirt, Mother Yashoda was so much worried about him. Oh, Krishna, you ate dirt, you will become sick. Why did you eat dirt? What would happen if the cowherd boys told Mother Yashoda, Krishna ate a huge forest fire? So he did not want Yashoda Mai to know. And after the dirt-eating pastime, he obviously didn't trust his friends to not tell him. I will not repeat what he just said. Then Krishna said, now open your eyes. And when they opened their eyes, not only was the entire forest fire gone, but miraculously they were sitting again under the Bandirabhat tree that we are sitting under just now. The scriptures tell us what this Bandirabhat tree was like at the time of Krishna and Balaram's manifested Leela in Vrindavan. This tree was so beautiful and it was so big. It literally covered miles. It was so rich and full with leaves and flowers. It appeared like a beautiful cloud that had descended to the earth. Its branches went way, 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 way out. And it was one of the favorite places of Krishna Balaram and the gopas to come under the shade of this tree and perform wonderful pastimes. And by their causeless mercy, today we have come under the beautiful shade of this wonderful holy tree to hear their transcendental pastimes. These transcendental sound vibrations of the Lord's teachings and pastimes are none different than the Lord himself. Whatever pastime we hear of the Lord, that Leela is none different than the Leela itself. If we hear with the proper mood of receptivity, in the mood of a genuine servant, hearing the pastimes gives us entrance into that pastime. These pastimes are not simply something that happened historically 5,000 years ago, but they are eternally enacted within the hearts of one who hears with faith and devotion. Another wonderful story that took place here is that this is described by Jiva Goswami in his Gopal Champu, that under this Bansi or Bandirabhat tree, Shri Radha and Krishna performed a wonderful playful pastime of getting married. In fact, this story must be understood in order to properly appreciate the presiding deities here, Radha Bandira Vihari. All of you have seen the deities? So you saw the unique pose that Krishna was in relationship to his eternal consort, Srimati Radharani. What happened is, Krishna at the time was a little child in his Kumara Leela, about 4 years old. Krishna, 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 Krishna on Duravan, even the serpents are attracted to hear the pastimes of Krishna Balaram. He came to wake everyone up from this long, boring class. There you are. So now everyone is very attentive. This is very auspicious. Hare Krishna. So, when Krishna and Srimati Radharani were children of about only 4 years old, they were walking through this beautiful forest of Bandiravan. They came to this tree, Bandiravat. Krishna manifested his Kishore age of about 15 years old. And Srimati Radharani also manifested her Kishore age, Kishori age. Just then, the intimate associates of Radha Krishna, the Sakis, headed by Lalita Sakhi, had a beautiful throne arranged for them, and sat them on this throne, began to perform a marriage ceremony for Sri Radha and Krishna. At that time, Lord Brahma, being attracted, came down, began to chant the four Vedas. He became the chief priest for this marriage. Then other demigods, like Lord Shiva and great sages like Narada, they descended to also participate. There was an exchange of garlands, chanting of mantras, beautiful, wonderful, wonderful decorations made by the gopis of Vrindavan. And in this way, there was a playful lila of Radha Krishna's marriage. Of course, it was not official. It was unofficial pastime of marriage. After the marriage was complete, all the demigods, gopis, everyone left. And then Krishna became again a little four-year-old boy, and Sri Radharani became a little four-year-old girl, and they returned to their homes. Sri Krishna Balarang, Sri Radharani ki. That also took place here at Bandiravat.
It's another form of the deity. What's the deity?
The deity of Sri Radha Bandiravihari is very special. You will see Krishna, he is putting the, what is it called, sindoor? Sindoor. Sannyasis don't know these things, so. Did I say it correctly, Maharaj?
That's me.
I just wanted to prove that sannyasis don't know these things. I'm not supposed to know it, but I heard Dina Bandhakar say it. And Sri Radharani's forehead, which is one of the very special rituals that take place in marriage, from what I have heard, to indicate this special pastime that took place here with Sri Sri Radha and Krishna's transcendental marriage ceremony. This is also described in various Puranas. In the Brajavilas Stava by Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, it is explained that Radha and Krishna would also perform very, very loving, pleasing wrestling matches here with each other. Hare Krishna. And this is not the kind of wrestling like you see in the circuses of India today. This is the kind of wrestling where one tries to defeat the other by humility and affection. So we should all be wrestling like this. Trying to defeat people. Not defeat, but trying to win the heart of another by affection and devotion. They would dress themselves up as wrestlers and come to this holy place under the Bandiravat tree. In the Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada explains how one time Sri Narada Muni was traveling through the Bandiravan forest and he saw in a tree the two favorite parrots of Krishna that always accompanied him. He looked up in the tree at these beautiful parrots, and the parrots, they had heard Vedanta philosophy. So imitating what they have heard, they started speaking from the Vedanta Sutras. And then, just as a wonderful pastime, the parrots started to debate philosophical topics. Narada Muni, his eyes became very big and he could not even blink. He was in such amazement to see the philosophical expertise of the parrots of Vrindavan. Yesterday at Sri Rupa Goswami's Samadhi Mandir, His Holiness Jayadvaita Maharaj was explaining that some people think that this bhakti of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Vrindavan bhakti, is very sentimental, that people do not understand proper philosophy. But here we understand what is Vrindavan. Even the parents of Vrindavan are expert in all kinds of philosophical dissertations in Vedanta philosophy. Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki! And even such a great learned scholar as Narada Muni was simply amazed at this wonderful pastime of Bandiravan. Nectar of Devotion also explains how one time in Bandiravan, one of the cowherd boy servants of Krishna named Patti, he was in separation from Krishna. And he was praying to Lord Krishna that you always are there to save your devotees. You rescued your devotees from the terrible, terrible hunger of Agasura. You rescued your devotees from the terrible poison of Kaliya. You rescued your devotees from the terrible heat of the forest fire. But what now that you are in Bandiravan with Banu Tanaya, Srimati Radharani, we are in separation from you. So we are praying that you understand that the feelings of our separation is more severe than the hunger of Agasura, than the poison of Kaliya, and than the fire of the Ishikatava forest. So we are surrendering, my Lord, please protect us and give us your divine association. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually explained that this type of development of the feelings of separation from Krishna is the healthiest way of developing Krishna consciousness. Not that we should be proud that I have seen Krishna, that I know Krishna, but rather we should feel ourselves so fallen, so lonely. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he jumped in the river Ganges, and Haridas Thakur and Nityananda Prabhu brought him back to the shore, they said, "My Lord, why did you jump in the Ganges to drown yourself?" He said, "Why did you take me out? I have no love for Krishna. If I had any love of Krishna, even one drop of love for Krishna, in his separation I would have died long ago. But the fact that I am still breathing means I do not even have a single drop of love of Krishna. What is the use of my life without that?" Govinda Virahename, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, we should feel that this whole material universe is one dreary void, bereft of Krishna consciousness. In other words, we should not think that anything but Krishna consciousness has any real value on the spiritual platform. We are making all of our plans, making money, raising families, developing empires, trying to enjoy so many of the little facilities of this world. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught that bereft of pure Krishna consciousness, the whole world should be seen as a void. Nothing. And how do we develop this consciousness? It is not something that can be done artificially. It is by very, very sincerely and faithfully hearing from Srila Prabhupada, by reading his books and applying them to his life. Applying them to our lives, I'm sorry. By hearing the glories of the Lord, by serving the devotees of the Lord, and by very sincerely and loudly chanting the Holy Name. Not far from here is a tree called Bamsivat, a very, very sacred tree. It is one of the trees that Krishna would play his flute to attract the cows from the pasture grounds of Vrindavan. And also he would meet the gopis of Vrindavan. And this was one of the places that Krishna performed his Rasleela. When Akura took Krishna from Vrindavan, he was 10 years and 8 months old at the time. The residents of Vrindavan were stricken with the terrible grief of the imminent separation from Krishna. But one of Krishna's most intimate cowherd boyfriends was Sri Rama. He said to Krishna, "Please, you cannot leave. I will not be able to survive if you leave Vrindavan." Krishna said to Sri Rama, "I will soon return. I will return either tomorrow or the day after tomorrow." Sri Rama said, "I will stand under this tree near the bank of the river Jamuna, and I will not eat or sleep. I will stay here until you return. If you do not return, I will drown myself in Jamuna." Krishna said, "Do not drown yourself in Jamuna. I will return." Sri Rama waited. He waited long, long time. In fact, he waited so long of a time that a deity is installed under this tree. And this deity is none different than Sri Rama, who is still waiting for Krishna to return to Vrindavan. 500 years ago, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Vrindavan. He traveled through all the 12 forests. When he came here to Bandiravan, he saw all these holy places. When he came to the Bamsivat tree and he saw the murti of Sri Rama standing there waiting, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in great love for this devotee, he cried out, "Sri Rama, Sri Rama, I have come, I have returned." Then Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu embraced the deity of Sri Rama with great affection. Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki. So Sri Rama was waiting 4,500 years. Some of us have been devotees for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, and we're thinking, "Why? Why I'm not seeing Krishna? Maybe I should do something else. Maybe I should watch television. Maybe I should enjoy what everybody else is enjoying. I've been a devotee all these years. I've been chanting Hare Krishna for so long. I've been performing tapasya. I can't even keep track of how many Mangal Aartis I have attended. Countless Mangal Aartis. How many cold baths I have taken for so many years. How many
times I had to tolerate the abuse of other Vaishnavas in the Hare Krishna movement. Enough is enough. I gave my best years of my life. But Sridharma, even after 4,500 years, he was waiting eagerly in Mahaprabhu Sri Chaitanya's embrace. When we have that type of faith and dedication, whether Krishna reveals himself to us in this life or millions of lives to come, that is not important. What is important is we are pleasing him. We are serving his devotees. We are giving his message to others. And we never give up chanting his holy name. Some of the places we will visit today is the Radha Vandira Vihari Mort, the deity of Dauji. An interesting story of Lord Balaram is after he killed Pralambasura, he came to the well that Krishna made with his flute, and he rested beside that well to drink water. He placed his crown down, and the imprint, there's actually a deity of Balaram's crown at the place where his crown was made. We will all take some water from Venukoop. It's not the moonless night. But the benediction of pure love of God is 365 days every year for all eternity if we pray for that. That should be our prayer. Here in Bandiravan, such a charming, beautiful, beautiful forest. By Srila Prabhupada's most causeless mercy, we have all gathered here together to hear and chant the glories of Vrindavan. Thank you very much.
Sri Bandira Bihari Ki! Especially this Bandirabhat tree, by the influence of Kali Yuga, he's become small. Maharaj was describing how his branches went for miles around. Actually, the cowboys that they used to do was this tree, his branches were so long, he said we had to go through a big traffic jam to get over here to... Actually, we're only 7 kilometers away from Vrindavan. You know that? This road we came here, if you go back the other way, you run into the Jamuna, and you take a boat and go across, and you're in Vrindavan. The Kaur boys, they didn't have to take Dinesh and Ashok's buses. You see these roots hanging down from this banyan tree? They used to, on the other side, it was so long, the branches of this tree were so long, it stretched all the way to the other side of the Jamuna. And the cowboys, they could just climb up one of these roots, and they would run. You see how heavy and strong, this is a small. Now it's small, but even now if we put somebody up there, they can walk all along. It's going out very straight and flat, you can walk. So the cowboys used to climb up on one side, these roots, then they would run across the branch to the other side, and they would come down on another route, like that. That's how big this Bandirabhat tree used to be. And as we were talking about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visiting these places, and we heard about Narad Muni, when he found two parrots having a discussion. When Mahaprabhu came in this forest, he also saw two parrots having a discussion. I hope there's somebody who knows Bengali here. Oh, Masajee's here, she can help me, because I don't know the full translation of this. But he saw two parrots, actually one was a male, Shuka, and one was a Sari, female parrot, and they were also having philosophical debate. Shuka bole amar Krishna madana mohan, Sari bole amar radha bami affection, mele shudui madan. Shukha bole, Amar Krishna Madana Mohan. We went yesterday to the temple of Madan Mohan. So Shukha, he's saying that my Krishna, he's Madan Mohan. He even bewilders Cupid. He's so attractive that he bewilders Cupid. And Sari bole, Amar Radha, Bani Yataksan, Mele Sudui Madan. Yes, he's very attractive only because on his left side is standing out of Rani. Otherwise, what is his attraction? Shukha bole Amar Krishna Giri Dada Chilo. Sari bole Amar Radha Shakti Sanchilo. Nele Paribe Kena. It says Shukha bole Amar Krishna Giri Dada Chilo. So my Krishna, he held up that Giri Govardhan. Sari bole Amar Radha Shakti Sanchilo. That my Radha, that's nothing, my Radha gave him the Shakti to be able to do that. Otherwise, how he was able to hold it? Sukha bole Amar Krishna, Matai Mayur Paka, Sare bole Radha Namti Tate Leka, Eye Jai Deka. Can you follow that one? Sukha bole Amar Krishna, Matai, Matur, Mayur Paka. The my Krishna, he's got a peacock feather in his crown. But Sare bole Amar Radar Namti Tate Leka.
His name on the top of the
peacock feather. Oh, Radharani's name is written on the top of the peacock feather. You just go and see. Eye Yaya Deka. You go there and see. Sukha bole Amar Krishna. Chura Bama Hoyle, Sare bole Amar Radha Charan Pabe bole, Chura Taite Hoyle. Sukha bole Amar Krishna Chura Bame Hoyle. My Krishna, he has a crown leaning to the left. And Sare bole, yes, it's leaning to the left. It's trying to go down and touch Radharani's feet. Sukha bole Amar Krishna Jagat Chintamani. Sare bole Amar Radha Prema Padayani, Tomar Krishna Jani. Sukh says that my Krishna, he's Jagada Chintamani. He's the Chintamani of the whole, he's the touchstone of the whole universe. And Sare bole Amar Radha Prema, but my Radha, she's Prema Padayani. She's the giver of prema. Your Krishna knows it. Tomar Krishna Jani. Sukha bole Amar Krishna Banti Karagan, Sare bole Satya Bhatte bole Radha Nam Nele Michai Gan. Sukha says, my Krishna, he is playing beautiful sound with his flute. Radha, and Sari says, yes, he's singing Satya Bhatte. Huh? That's, yeah, you're speaking true, that is true. He's playing very beautiful song in his flute. What is that song? His flute is singing Radha's name. Otherwise, Satyavate, he says, otherwise, Michai Gan, this is Mitya. Sukha bole Amar Krishna Jagate Raguru. Achcha. Sare bole Amar Radha Vancha Kalpa Turu. Nele Kekar Guru. Sukha bole Amar Krishna, my Krishna, he is Guru of the whole universe. Bande Krishna Jagat Guru. He's Jagatera Guru. He's Guru Gauri. Sari says, but my Radha, she is Vancha Kalpa Taru. She's a wish fulfilling tree. Nele Kekar Guru. In other words, if Guru is unable to satisfy the desire of his disciple, what is his use? So he's only Jagat Guru because Radharani is a Kalpa Taru. Shukha bole Amar Krishna Prema Bikari. Achcha. Sare bole Amar Radha Premer Lahari Premer Dui Kishori. Sukha says that my Krishna, he's Prema Bikari. He is a beggar of Prem. And Sari says, yes, and my Radharani, she's waves, Prema Lahari. She's waves of Prem. And Premer Dui Dew, is it Dew? Premier Dew Kishori? Let me see, this one's actually translated here from the Hindi. Dew. giver. She's the giver of love. He's the beggar of love, and she's the giver of prem. That's it. Sukha bole amar Krishna, karam talay tana, shari bole amar Radha, kare anagona nele michay tana. So Sukha bole my Krishna, he's standing underneath the kadam tree. And Sari says, yes, because Radharani is standing there, otherwise that place is just useless place. Michay tana, that's mitya. Huh? Anagona, she's coming and going to that place, otherwise michay tana, that is useless place. Mitya, nitya. Sukha bole amar Krishna jagatera alo, sare bole amar Radha rupa jagatalo, nele adar kalo. Sukha says, my Krishna, he's the glow, he's the halo of the universe. And Radharani, says, but my Radharani, she's, sare bole amar Radha rupa jagatalo, she's the form of that halo. Otherwise, what is his base? He has no base. He's the rupa jagat alo, naile adar kalo. What is the adar? What is the base? Sukha bole amar Krishna Sri Radhika Dasi, sare bole satyavati sakshi, ache bansi, naile hoite kashivasi. Sukha says, my Krishna, he is Radha Dasi. And Sari says, yes, that's true. The witness is this flute. If he didn't have this flute, he would just be Mayavadi from Kashi, Kashivasi. Sukha bole amar Krishna kare barishan, sare bolo amar Radha tagata pavan, se ye stir pavan. Sukha says, my Krishna, he makes it rain, just like he did yesterday. But Sari says, but my Radha, she's the very soft breeze that stops that rain. So she stopped the rain today. Sukha bole amar Krishna kalindire jale, kalindira jal, sare bole amar Radha tahe shatadal, nele shui dui ye jal. Sukha says, my Krishna, he's the water of Kalindi. And Sari says, and my Radharani, she's the thousand petal lotus petal. Lotus flower in the middle of that water. Otherwise, nele, shudui, yejal.
Otherwise, there is nothing in the middle of the water.
Just useless water. Without that thousand petal lotus flower of Radharani, is useless water. Sukha bole amar Krishna Vrindavane rachan, sare bole amar Radha echan darafand. Chand bande rekeche. Alright, I don't know this one. Sukha bole amar Krishna Vrindavanera Chand. He's the moon. He's the moon of Vrindavan. And Sari says, but my Radha, she's Chanda Dada Fund. Fund. It says Fund.
The rays of the moon.
Rays. Rays of the moon. Alright. My Radha is the rays of the moon. Chanda bande rekeche. Rekeche.
Oh, he's binding the chandama, light of the moon.
She's binding?
Keeping the moon on.
Oh, those rays of the moon are encircling. Krishna is the moon, but those rays are circling around the moon, keeping him tied up. Sukha bole sare are kena karadvan. Sukha says, why should we argue? Radha Krishna duur jana kena nahi mand. Radha and Krishna are not two, they're one. We should all just chant their glories together. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
So this was the philosophical discussion witnessed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he came in this forest. And I was remembering Radhanath Swami Maharaj was describing about Tilak.
So immediately I was, because everybody's got so beautiful tilak on their foreheads, he said, this is the most valuable jewel. So I was reminding last year in Kartik, Prabhupada's old servant, Srutakirti came. And he knows pastimes that nobody knows, because he was traveling with Prabhupada all over the world. So he was the only witness to these pastimes. And Srutakirti told us, because you know when you fly in a plane, when you get close to your destination, suddenly there's a little light, you hear this little ding, ding ding, and you see this little light flash on, it says fasten your seatbelts, and the pilot comes on and says, we're about to land at Delhi International Airport, everyone please fasten your seatbelts. Srutakirti used to dread. He dreaded that. He knew as soon as he realized, you know, he'd look at his watch, he said, we're about time, it's about time, that light's going to come on. He used to dread it. Why? He was afraid of landing. No. That fasten your seatbelt sign meant to Srila Prabhupada, now it is time to put in my tilak, so that when I come out in the airport, the devotees will see me with nice tilak. Prabhupada was very concerned that the devotees have nice tilak, and he wanted to set the example. So as soon as the fasten your seatbelt sign would get on, Prabhupada would stand up, all the air hostesses would come, and said, no, you have to sit down. Suddenly, no matter what language you told Prabhupada, he didn't understand English, he didn't understand Hindi, French, nothing. And Srutakirti was following on behind, and he was like, well, bah, bah, bah. He had to give the excuse, so he dreaded it every time. All the air hostesses were looking at him, but, stop this guy. What can I do? And Prabhupada would just go to the bathroom and put on his seatbelt. But it shows Prabhupada's concern for tilak. We know so many pastimes about that. And since we're all in happy mood, there's another pastime. It may have happened in this place. But one time, since we're already halfway laughing and bursting our sides, one time, Nandanandan, he came here. And he saw all the cowherd boys were just laughing hysterically. And then the Lala said, hey, what's so funny? It's too funny, we can't tell you. So you tell a little boy something like that, there's no words more powerful to increase your your curiosity of a little boy than those. So come on, hey Subal, tell me what's so funny. It's so funny, we can't tell you. Hey Mother Mangal, come on, tell me what's so funny. It's too funny, we can't tell you. Hey Muddy, look Muddy, I'll give you so many ladus. Just tell me. I'll give you a lot of ladus. All right, I'll tell you, just a second. It's that we were all talking, you know, that Nanda Baba, he's gore. He's very, very golden in complexion. And Mother Yasoda, she's gory. She's also very fair complexion. And you're so caro. You're so black. So we're all wondering how is it possible that you're the son of Mother Yasoda and Nanda Maharaj? And then we understood what happened was actually you were the son you were the son of a hunter in this forest, and you were so caro, you were so black. He stuck you in a hole in a tree. And Nanda Baba, he wanted to get a son so bad, he looked inside the hole in the tree, he heard his baby cry. He pulled you out of that tree, he brought you home and made you his son. Oh, the cowherd boys were just laughing, their hearts, their sides were bursting. But Nandanandan didn't think it was funny at all. just like if you've ever had experience when somebody dies, you just wonder, how is it that the birds are still singing? How is everything going on? He heard the voice laughing in the background. But it was just like, it was unreal. The whole world had ended. The ground beneath his feet had disappeared. This was it. This was too much. His heart sank completely. He began to cry. He was so sad. He went home. And he climbed in Mother Yasoda's lap and he was just crying. And Mother Yasoda said, "What's the matter, Lala? You got a stomach ache? You got a fever? One of your friends said something bad? Somebody get golly to you?" He said, "What's the matter?" "It's too sad. I can't tell you." So there's no words that will increase the mother's curiosity more than those few words. He said, "Come on, what's the matter? You fell down when you were playing today? You got a headache? You got a stomach ache? Huh? You got a fever? One of your friends told you a bad name? What's the matter?" "It's too sad." "Come on, Lala, tell me, Lala, come on, Lala, tell me, what's the matter?" So finally, he told Mother Yasoda what happened. Mother Yasoda said, "What? Who told you such a thing? This is totally untrue. You are my son and the son of Nandabala." And Krishna said, "Is it?" He said, you come before the deity." So they came before Nanda Maharaj's deity of Lord Vishnu. Because nobody lies before the statue, the deity of Lord Vishnu. So they came before Lord Vishnu. And Mother Yasoda said, "I swear in front of the deity that you are my son and the son of Nanda Maharaj." And Nandananda, he knows, Mother Yasoda, she never tells lies. And in front of the deity, nobody ever tells lies. He became so happy, he just began to laugh. He became so joyful. "Oh, Nandananda ki."
At this time, we will pass the microphone to the editor.
That was a hard one to follow.
Well, I have something to say, but I can't tell you.
One time, there was a very famous mullah. You know, in Muslim, they have their guru that's called mullah. And he was a very famous speaker, but very difficult to get him to speak. So one village, they went to him, they begged. Many times they went to him. He finally agreed, "All right, I'll come and speak." So he came there, and everybody assembled. They all were sitting very patiently, just eager to listen, just like you're all sitting here. What are you not going to say now? "So I suppose you all know what I've come to talk about today." Everybody said, "No." "You don't know? Then why should I speak?" And he walked out of the room. So anyway, again they went, and again they, many times they went to see him. They said, no, "This time we're ready, you please come." Anyway, finally he agreed, "All right, I'll come." So everybody was sitting there, we're all ready this time. So he said, "So I suppose you all know what I've come to talk about today." Everybody said, yes. As if you already know, then there's no need for me to speak with you. He left. So again, they went to him many, many times. They were finally convinced him, please come. "This time we're ready. We'll listen." So finally, all right, I'll come. So he came in. They were all sitting there, very anxious to hear him speak. So he said, Well, I suppose you all know what I come here to speak about today. So half of the crowd said, yes, yes, yes. The other crowd said, no. The other half said, no, no, no. It's all right. Those of you who know, tell those who don't know. Hasiraski! Well, you know, I was thinking about that last story and I thought, well, what does this have to do with Krishna? And that reminded me of a Prabhupada story. Prabhupada was on a morning walk and he was talking and he said that the ladies in Paris have very beautiful faces. And the ladies of some other place, maybe Kashmir, Paris, Kashmir, they have very beautiful hips, very wide and attractive hips. And then some other place he mentioned, and there the ladies have some other, Bengali ladies. They have very beautiful black eyes. And very beautiful black hair. And one disciple was on the walk. He said, Krishna also has very beautiful black hair. And Prabhupada said, why drag Krishna into this? We were talking about fence gratification. Some of the older devotees in San Francisco, they told me one time, this is long, 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 long time ago, very, very beginning, maybe it wasn't even, it might have been 26 seconds, I can't remember now, but Prabhupada told that there was one man, he was very expert in telling cars. Even blindfolded, he can tell you what car is there. So they tested, they brought him out on the street and they bound his eyes. And the car went by, he said, oh, this is a Chevrolet. Another car went by, he said, oh, this is a Buick. Another car went by, he went, this is a Cadillac. Then a donkey came down the street with a whole bunch of tin cans tied to his feet. And he said, oh, this is a Ford. Hold on, Marisha's not here. So Prabhupada was just laughing and laughing and laughing, and all the devotees, this is long, long, long time ago, not coming from the same background as us, you may not appreciate it so much, but all the devotees said, wow, that was really heavy. After the class, they all went outside. Did you understand? I didn't understand. I don't know what he meant by that. It was beyond me. Nobody could understand it. Prabhupada could simply tell a joke.
Thank you very much. That's it.
another wonderful pastime that would regularly take place at Bandiravan is Krishna and Balaram would arrange very nice prasad for the cowherd boys. This was one of their favorite places for sitting together and taking prasad. So after some time we will take Krishna's prasad here. But now we'll have kirtan on procession to the Bamsiba tree where the deity of Sridhana is still waiting for Krishna to return. And then we will return and take prasad in the midst of nice kirtan.
Also, when that Amavasya comes on a Monday, Somavati Amavasya, what happens is that the water in this well turns into milk. That's why all the ladies come here to take bath on that particular night. You have to be here exactly 4 o'clock in the morning to see it. It just happens for a little while. It turns into milk. No, today's not Monday.
Today is Monday.
It's on the list, but it's not Monday. It's Monday.
Hey, Baba.
Hey, you're right. It's so much.
It's
Monday. It's
Monday.
It's Monday. Huh? So tomorrow? Tomorrow, do you like
it?
He's saying that it wasn't at 4 o'clock this morning, it wasn't Amavasya, so it didn't have, it wasn't Somavati Amavasya today. That's so many rules are there. We have to wait till June or July. Somehow today doesn't count. So we'll go see Sridham, where we can pray to him. He's got so much patience. 4,500 years he waited. Just like Lord Brahma, in the 10th canto, he has very many beautiful prayers in the 14th chapter of 10th canto. And he says, what is it? Tate nukampa susumikshamana punjan eva nakrite vipakam vidavapuvirinayam namaste jivete jo mukti pade sadaya bhak. The one who goes on patiently suffering the reactions of his past misdeeds, patiently expecting, waiting for the mercy of Lord Krishna, jiveta jo mukti pade sadaya bhak. Daya means inheritance. Just like we know this word, sampradaya. If we're in the Brahma, Madhva, Gaudiya, sampradaya. So all our previous acharyas, they have kept a huge wealth of knowledge for us. And they're passing it down to, we're inheriting all of that accumulated knowledge. There's sampradaya. So daya means inheritance. So what do we inherit? Those who go on patiently waiting for Krishna's mercy? Muktipade. They inherit the kingdom of God. And Sridhar Swami, in his commentary on this verse, he says, what does a son have to do to inherit the property of his father? Do you know? He simply has to stay alive. If he stays alive, then he'll inherit the property of his father. So the same way, if somehow or other we can just remain alive in Krishna consciousness, take shelter, we are here, almost 1,000 devotees here. 800 means almost 1,000 Vaishnavas. We can take shelter of these Vaishnavas, we can render service to these Vaishnavas, take their association, somehow or other you just keep treading water in this Krishna consciousness. You take the assistance of the Vaishnavas any way, anyhow, you beg for Prabhupada's mercy, you stay alive in this Krishna consciousness, one day you will inherit the kingdom of God. Goloka Dharma Ki! Sri Vrindavan Dharma Ki!